whatever's on your mind. Dial in toll free 800-259-9231 as we kick off the second hour of the show. Toll free number again, 800-259-9231. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
Vanguard.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that is freetalklive.com. To start things out here this hour, we continue the story at homelandstupidity.us. And then coming up, we'll get to some climate stuff. That Guard has to share with us.
That's but right.
Michael Hampton over at Homeland Stupidity is pointing out that prosecutors have no liability for faking stuff. They can just make crap up, have you put in a jail cell for 25 years, and get away scot-free. There's a case from 1977 where two prosecutors in Pottawamie County, Iowa, had essentially coerced a man into lying on the stand, telling him what to say in order to get convictions against two other guys who did not murder the retired police officer they were accused of murdering. They ended up spending 25 years in prison before they were finally released after the Iowa Supreme Court found that the man who testified against them had indeed committed perjury. And you'd think there would be some sort of liability here for the prosecutors in this case, but according to Hampton, the courts have held that prosecutors enjoy absolute immunity under the common law for any actions they take at trial, though only qualified immunity when they perform police functions such as investigating crimes and gathering evidence. Stephen Sanders, the attorney for the prosecutors, argued that since they used the fabricated evidence at trial, they should be covered by absolute immunity. According to the New York Times story on this, Justice Anthony Kennedy, who's often the swing vote in cases concerning the scope of the Constitution's Due Process Clause, appeared troubled by the distinction. So the law is, the more deeply you're involved in the wrong, the more likely you are to be immune? That's a strange proposition. Neil Katyal, a deputy solicitor general, argued for the federal government in support of state prosecutors. Mr. Katyal said that even in the case of police officers, they could be sued only if they had duped prosecutors into using fake evidence. There is no constitutional violation, he said, if the police and the prosecution are acting in concert, because the prosecutor's absolute immunity would apply to the police as well. Again, said Justice Kennedy, the more aggravated the tort, the greater the immunity. And back to Michael Hampton, an amicus brief filed with the court by the Cato Institute, the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers, and the ACLU, presents years of research showing that prosecutors almost never suffer any sort of sanctions when they engage in misconduct, even egregious misconduct, such as knowingly prosecuting innocent people, and that even with compensation laws recently enacted in some states, it's nearly impossible for victims of prosecutorial misconduct to recover any damages. You're lucky if you just get out of the jail cell. I'm not sure what's more disturbing, says Hampton, the fact that prosecutors routinely get away with framing people, or the fact that government wants to keep it that way. The federal government, 27 states, and several intergovernmental associations all filed briefs in support of the prosecutors.
Wow.
That's from HomelandStupidity.us, the toll-free number, 800-259-9231.
Boy, if that doesn't get you angry, man.
What more do you need to say about that, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely disgusting. But I understand why they don't want their prosecutors held liable for to lying and convicting people. But
you understand why?
Well, I understand why it is they don't want them held responsible for making a mistake. But when it comes to doing it egregiously, and that's difficult to prove, but you'd think that they'd just go ahead and support that. I just don't understand.
But if only we could just – I understand that this is a problem, Ian, but maybe we could just make the system work better if we had other people, or we added a different body to oversee, or another check or another balance.
Don't think so.
I mean –
these guys are all in it together.
I feel like Theodoric of York. It could be a new world. Or how about this? Maybe a world where these people actually have to answer to their real clients rather than being able to secure their money without having to please anybody.
Right. Not only are they not held liable, but you can't do anything about it if you don't like it. So if you don't like the fact that they're not held liable, you can't just withhold your money because then they'll come after you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's strange. You know, I can imagine, say, you know, you go to a store and they rip you off or something. Something goes wrong. They give you a faulty product. You go back and you say, I'd like some sort of satisfaction here, some sort of restitution for what you did to me. And they say, no. Okay, well, I'm never going back to you then, and I'm going to tell everybody not to go to your place. You go to a, let's say you go to a park. Ah, yeah, you know, this park is great, but, geez, I ate some food there. It was really bad, and one of your employees stole something of mine and then blamed it on my neighbor here, which, you know, that really caused some problems. Can I get some sort of, you know, fix it here? Well, I don't know. The customer is always wrong. You know, I mean, that's what it is with government. The customer is always under suspicion.
Pretty much. So there you have it, in case you thought that there was some level of accountability for these people. I mean, we already kind of knew that there were there was this concept of sovereign immunity, wherein government agents are very, very difficult to sue them in a personal capacity. It is, to some extent, possible to sue the bureaucracy itself and then collect money from the taxpayers, but it's very, very rare that you'll actually see any government bureaucrats at any level of enforcement actually held responsible for their actions financially or personally.
You know, we've spoken about this before. If we could only apply the standard that we have under tort law to government itself, it would be a very interesting thought experiment for some people who still think that government is necessary and it just needs to be reformed. If you were to say, all right, here's how we're going to reform it. All politicians who vote for laws that can be proven to have harmed people or their business or their property will be liable for that. All government
officials, or at the very least, unconstitutional. You'd think if these people make a vow to
the Constitution. Well, that'd be fun, of course, but you've got to interpret that. But this would be brought before a court of your peers. The politicians could be proven to have harmed you in a tortious way. They would be liable. Not only would all the people who voted for those laws, not only first the bureaucrats would be held liable, but then the people who created the laws would be held liable. And then anyone who voted for the people who created the laws would also be held liable in joint and several liability, the way they try to nail companies with joint and several liability claims.
Well, you're such a radical, Gardner. I mean, proposing such radical ideas,
because then,
like responsibility.
Yeah, people say, but Gardner, no laws would ever be.
Hooray!
Interesting. I get it.
Toll free 800-259-9231. Frank is in New York. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Frank.
Good evening. Yes, I wanted to agree with you that no government official, be it state, federal, or local, should have unlimited liability. They should all be held accountable for their actions and malfeasance in criminal and civil litigation. And I think if that were the case, you would find people doing the right thing more often than not, because they would have the possibility, if they fabricate evidence or they make a fallacious case against an individual in a civil or criminal case, that they would lose their property and assets. And I think when that happens, people will start.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet if you could get the house of the prosecutor. Sorry,
right,
Frank,
and also the police. Also the police. I have a solution. When the police lie and they convict a person with false evidence or no evidence, just bearing false witness, I think what they should do when the individual proves his case against the government, such as when a person is convicted of a crime they didn't commit, and then it comes out, you know, 5 years later, 10 years later, 30 years later, that the police and the prosecutors, you know, fudged the evidence, then I think the individual that was wrong, the victim, should be able to collect full monetary damages from the police pension funds, you know, and the judicial pension funds that the different states
that way the
maintain.
Other cops would have an incentive
Absolutely.
To keep the other guys
it's
honest.
A really great idea.
Correct. Yeah. And that's what should happen, and I think that's what the framers of the Constitution had envisioned. They never expected government to have immunity. And, you know, as I said, now we have this perverse system that just generates constant malfeasance, whether it's regarding people in taxation or, let's say, violating individual civil rights, you're guaranteed under the Bill of Rights, and this would provide an alternative in a sense.
Some good ideas. I thank you for the call tonight, Frank. Appreciate hearing from you at 800-259-9231. That is the SICL CAI toll-free line. You can take control of the airwaves and bring up whatever's on your mind. 800-259-9231. That's how we call it, Free Talk Live.
congressman recently revealed that legislation totaling 2,900 pages and involving more than $1 trillion was available to members of Congress for less than 48 hours to study and consider. That's over 60 pages of legislation per hour. Do you think anyone read the entire bill? I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org. Consider a proposal buried in a 3,200-page, $388 billion bill, which would have empowered committee chairmen or their agents to examine Americans' tax returns. When this horrible provision came to light, no one claimed to know how it got into the bill. One congressman questioned said, "I didn't write it. I didn't approve it. I wasn't even consulted." If your attorney represented you this way, he might be disbarred. But this is how Congress represents you every day. That's why DownsizeDC.org has created the Read the Bills Act. You can force Congress to read their bills before they pass them at DownsizeDC.org.
When the electricity goes out, how will you boil water, cook dinner, light your home, or get news reports? Most families are not prepared for even the shortest power outage due to hurricanes, tornadoes, ice storms, and so on. But you can prepare your family for emergencies and not spend a lot doing it with the amazing products from Carol Stove. CarolStove.com is a family preparedness website that has everything you will need in the event of emergency at big discounts. Kerosene stoves, lanterns, emergency radios, water filters, LED flashlights, and even an oven for baking. CarolStove.com is the largest selection of kerosene stoves on the internet. They've even put together two family emergency kits at big discounts that include everything you'll need for the next extended blackout. With CarolStove.com's family emergency kits, you'll be able to cook, bake, light your home, make safe drinking water, and hear the news. And you'll be surprised how little you'll spend on Carol Stove's incredible products. For example, our most popular single burner stove starts at only $58. See our complete line of quality stoves and ovens at CarolStove.com. That's K-E-R-O-Stove.com. Keep cooking with CarolStove.com.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQ. AirAndAqua.com or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
This is an emergency alert. More than half the world's doctors and nurses are refusing risky vaccinations this fall. I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz, a Harvard-trained public health expert, urging you to avoid risky vaccinations, especially this flu season. Rely on OxySilver instead. OxySilver's broad-spectrum action makes all vaccinations and antibiotics unnecessary. OxySilver is the most advanced silver hydrosol, far safer than colloidal silvers. It works so well, saving lives and money, protecting and healing you and your family. It has been targeted for elimination by the drug cartel. So get it while you still can. Order OxySilver online at OxySilver.com. If you call right now, I'll send you a free information kit. Call toll-free 1-888-KO-GERMS. That's 1-888-KO-GERMS. Order OxySilver today. This call could save your life.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You are invited to take control of the airwaves and bring up anything toll-free. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line tonight. It's Ian with you.
And Guard.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Features there are free, so enjoy those on us, including the bulletin board system with over 500,000 posts. There's a lot to talk about there. You'll find it all free at bbs.freetalklive.com.
And take the startpage.com's 7-day challenge. I've been taking the 7-day challenge for, going on 2 months now, maybe three.
60-day challenge.
Yeah, and you know, startpage.com's great. It works just like any other search engine out there, except it has the added advantage that you know, that search engine isn't cataloging and storing your information for, you know, future purposes. I don't know about you, but I use one particular search engine company a great deal, and I know that they catalog all that information together in order to put a profile of me to, and if that's not what you want for yourself, go to startpage.com. That's startpage.com.
All right, we continue with your phone calls about what you want. David is in New Hampshire, and you're on Free Talk Live. Hello, David. David?
Hi.
Hey.
I kind of been following what you were saying. You were talking about the courts and stuff.
Yes. That? The immunity of prosecutors and various other government bureaucrats from any kind of liability for putting innocent people in jail.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's seen this, but there's a frontline program which is readily available online, and it's called the plea, and it describes all that, and it shows, you know, how people have the general public has such a misguided view of the court system by watching TV and stuff like that, and they think people get justice and stuff like that.
Anyone who's ever been to an arraignment on a Monday or Tuesday morning knows the truth.
Right. And one thing about those prosecutors that I've noticed, they're never wrong. Everyone is always 100% guilty.
Right. And even if they are wrong, the prosecutor is not liable in any way, shape, or form. It's just an oopsie, and they just go along about their careers. So basically, the prosecutors have an incentive to just stack up as many cases as possible in order to make their track record look good for their run for political office, which is what a lot of them are typically angling for. They're kind of building a bunch of records of crimes that they've convicted people for, so they can go and beat their chest about it when they run for political office. And so basically, they're using people's lives as stepping stones to more power. It's sick.
Yeah, like I said, there's this thing that it's called the plea, and it's on Frontline, and it just talks about people getting plea bargains and how they have to move. And Keene is all about plea bargains.
Sure is.
Everyone, every government bureaucrat, every court system everywhere is all about plea bargains. But your statement is still correct, and the reason why they're about that is because, well, it's a lot easier for them, isn't it, David? I mean, if they can just get you to take the plea, then the prosecutor doesn't really have to do any serious work. They
right,
don't have to.
They get their fees and their money and everything like that.
And I got to say, on the other side of it, the way that the defense attorneys work with these guys, they see them every day, and you can't help but come to get to know these people. They make deals, and in some cases, society outside is not benefited because bad guys. On the flip side,
not in some way, this is you're pointing out that in fact, pleas only benefit the court system. They do not benefit society as a whole,
right?
Because they might not keep them safe. A guy could be put out. They put a bad guy supposedly on the streets more quickly because he's pled out. Yep. They don't benefit the victim because if the bad guy did what he did, then he's pleading out obviously for a lower sentence, and they don't benefit the bad guy because the bad guy doesn't get his day in court. If assuming he is a bad guy, he doesn't get his day in court. It is all around screw up, and it only benefits the judges and the prosecutors.
And it also doesn't help somebody who's innocent because they don't want you having a trial.
Right. Yeah.
All.
Right. Right. And that's a great point. And since we have no way to give any feedback, since we can't withhold our funds, we have no incentive to find out what's going on unless we hear something. And then if we do hear something on the news about somebody like this whole situation with Mike Huckabee letting that guy out 2 weeks ago, years ago letting that guy out, and then the guy ended up killing all those police officers out on the West Coast near Seattle. If we do hear about it, it's going to be very difficult if it's just a single case and it doesn't get a lot of attention to try to reform the system because we are having our money taken from us.
David, thanks for the thoughts. Any other anything else you want to share
with
us?
That's pretty much it. I'll listen. Thanks a lot.
I appreciate hearing from you tonight at 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. And it's not just happening here in Keene, New Hampshire, where we do this show. It's happening across the country because it's like David said, it's just they're just ringing the cash register with most of these people. People are getting tickets for various different parking things and driving violations and all that, and you know, marijuana possession, open container, all kinds of various different crimes that don't
everything.
Actually involve
the, I mean,
a victim.
The judge's default position is you're guilty. I just had I'm not going to read the story, but I just had a story come up here where a judge ruled that a police officer could find a man guilty of speeding by the sound his car was making.
Jeez.
I mean, it's just incredibly ludicrous. You can't get any justice from these people. Wow. The judicial system isn't about justice. The judicial system is about extorting money from the public. It's just another fundraising venue for the government.
And filling, absolutely, and part of that extorting money is not just in plea bargains and things like that, but it's also in that when you go to jail, that increases the budgets of the jails, and so therefore they get more money and more bureaucrats every single year. Let me share some statistics with you here. This posted over the Freekeen Forum by somebody who works as a jailer. So there's somebody who's a liberty-oriented jail guard. It's got to be a tough job, but he works, and I don't know what state it is, but he says a bus came in this week. And he breaks down the 24 inmates that are on the bus. Some of them are newly sentenced, but most of them are just transferred. 16 of them convicted on drug charges. 16 of 24. 3 were immigration cases, illegal reentry, having previously been deported. Again, completely consensual. No actual victims involved in any of these so far. 3 were firearms cases. 1 had a sawn-off shotgun. 2 felon in possession. So, again, no victim.
Yep.
1 case of possession / distribution of child porn. Again, as despicable as you might find that particular habit, no victim involved.
Well, I understand what you're saying about victim. I think that there are levels of gray as far as child porn goes.
I don't think so. There's no victim. There's no crime. And then 1 case of armed bank robbery. So 1 out of 24 prisoners, or 4%, who committed a crime against other individuals by actually doing some sort of threatening of violence, in this case with guns, during a bank robbery. On a bus full of 24 inmates, 1 had actually a victim involved in their crime. And you know what? I questioned that. I wonder, why did the guy need the money? What did he go and rob that bank for? Did he have a drug debt? Because a lot of robberies and things like that happen because people are involved in the war on drugs. And if if you're doing some big drug deal with somebody and you front the money and you get robbed and you're out the cash and the dealer wants his cash, you might be so desperate because you don't want to get killed by the dealer.
Yeah.
You might go and rob a bank. So I wonder what was his motivation there. But either way, the statistics are stunning. I mean, these people don't belong there. If all these courts were doing were prosecuting people who actually involved a victim, they wouldn't have to offer plea bargains. They'd have all the time they needed to take every single one of these people to trial and get convictions on the real, real bad guys. But that's not what the system is about. It's about filling jail cells, increasing budgets, and helping prosecutors and police do better in their political careers. It's Free Talk Live.
Healthy Hearts Club presents Heart and Body Extract. Supports clean, clear arteries, healthy blood pressure levels, healthy circulation and blood flow, regular heart rate and beat. What if you could avoid heart attacks? What if you could avoid emergency room visits? What if you could avoid surgery? How? With this Heart and Body Extract. 100% organic, no negative side effects. Guaranteed to work or your money back. Call now, 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Or order online at heartandbody.com. Take the high road to a long and healthy life. 866-295-5305 or heartandbody.com.
Hey, did you know that you can now order Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra online? That's right, it's true. And it's convenient now. Genuine FDA-approved Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra online at Viamedic.com. That's V, like in Victor, Viamedic.com. Viamedic.com. That's right, you can order now. No doctor visits necessary. You can get a complete private consultation with a U.S. licensed physician, and licensed pharmacists will review that information. You'll get a prescription, and they'll fill your order. That's right, Viamedic.com, ladies and gentlemen. And if you happen to want to save $10 on your first order, you can use the coupon code SAVAGE while online at Viamedic.com. The coupon code SAVAGE will save you $10 on your FDA-approved Viagra, Cialis, or Levitra order. Or you can call this phone number for more information, and that phone number is 1-888-388-MEDS. That's 1-888-388-MEDS, M-E-D-S.
Hello, at OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
It's inspiring for many who are affected by the recent downturn of the economy.
I already knew a bit about foraging and edibles, but you take it to a whole new level.
A thousand thanks to you for all that great knowledge. It was empowering.
When I was in the Navy, I went through a couple of quick land survival classes.
Thank you for being an inspiration and for all the work that you do.
I really appreciate the depth and detail of the information.
Thank you so much.
Much love and respect to you from all of us here in the boonies.
Thanks again.
Knowledge is power, and that power brings peace.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones, or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two Sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. Dial in toll free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll free line. 1-800-259-9231. You can join us online, freetalklive.com. We've got archives. So if you've missed a moment of the show, they're right there on the front page of the website for you. Click, download, and they are yours for free at freetalklive.com.
Okay, critical thinking question. Why should something that's so good for us, like public education, need to be imposed on us with the use of force?
Great question.
And funded with the use of force? Maybe something else is going on. School Sucks Podcast is a show about the end of public education. I'd say government education. Visit schoolsucksproject.com to learn more. That's schoolsucksproject.com.
Those are great, by the way.
Have you heard?
Oh, awesome. Awesome. I love them.
They've really got Guard's endorsement.
we're gonna start teaming up on some productions. Yeah, I just got an email from them. I wrote them before.
And, oh, cool. Would that be teamed up for as far as would it be distributed via the Liberty Conspiracy or would it be distributed via School Sucks?
I think we'll do both. We'll see. But just terrific stuff. I love the way he puts them out. Really good thing. So we'll let people know about that.
All right. That's exciting. Yeah. Well, definitely let us know about that. Toll-free number here, 800-259-9231. Of course, lots to talk about. We can get to the climate thing. But, Mark, you brought something up during the break, and you said you didn't want to bring it up on the air, but I say why not?
I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, thank you, Gardner. I completely agree. It's a taboo issue, and so therefore it's fascinating, right? the issue of the child pornography, because we were talking about before the statistics from a guy that works at a prison talking about the kinds of people they're getting in on the buses in their incoming to the prison and pointing out that approximately, at least on the last bus, and he says this is a typical bus load. So this is nothing unusual about this bus. 4% or 1 out of 24 of the people on that bus were involved in a crime that actually had a victim. And Mark, one of the other people that was in the 23 people that he said didn't have a victim mm-hmm. was in there for possession or distribution or whatever of child pornography.
Right.
And you said, well, well? And so you'd ask Gardner during the break what his thoughts were on all that, the whole issue of is that a crime to possess such a thing as what would be defined as child pornography. And, of course, then we have to define child pornography. The definition of child pornography can, of course, be anything from a picture of a baby in a bathtub, you know, at bath time.
Right. So you said that I said that there were some gray areas there. You brushed across it as though there are no gray areas. And these are the gray areas that I love to point out to people, that they have arrested and charged people in the United States of America, your friends, your neighbors, people that you come in contact with child porn because they take pictures of their kids in the bathtub. This happens far more frequently than you can ever imagine. Well, don't send your pictures to, big box stores to get developed if you're going to take pictures of these important memories.
I don't see that as gray. It seems like a no-brainer. Those people are fully within their rights to...
But the government is in fact charging them with that, and that makes it a gray area.
You can't
just brush across that. Secondly...
Well, I thought you meant it was gray as in I was... we were conflicted as to how he felt about it. I'm not conflicted.
Yeah, I'm really not terribly conflicted about how I feel about a guy who has real, live child porn as I define it, and he knows that he has it, and he possesses it, and he uses it in a Pyrrhian fashion. I really don't feel terrible about what happens to that guy. It's very difficult for me to come up with some kind of bad feelings about that particular dude.
I feel
bad
for anybody that's put in jail who has not done harm to another person.
Yeah, well, you're creating a demand, in my opinion, for harm for another person.
Yeah, see, this is very difficult.
Is it okay for me to hire Gardner to kill you?
No.
Am I not creating a demand for your death? Is it okay for me to hire him to beat you up?
Well, now wait. Now, when you're talking about child pornography, then why don't you define what you're talking about?
Okay,
Gardner answer it because you've been just explaining what your position is.
Okay, child pornography to me is not cartoon pictures of Mickey Mouse doing Minnie Mouse or which people have gone to jail for in the United States. They are not cartoon pictures from Japan, this anime manga stuff, which people have gone to the jail for in the United States of America. They are not pictures of people in of children in bathtubs, which I don't need to say it again. But they are not any of these things. What they are is actual pictures of children being abused by adults.
So only if they're being abused.
Positions.
What if they chose to do this?
See, this is where you get into the gray areas. If you decide to take a picture of a young boy with an erection, mm-hmm. I think that it's weird.
I mean,
but I don't think that it, to me, it's about abuse.
Look at this. For example, the artist rendering from those old suntan posters.
Yeah.
Where the dog
the
is pulling
the crack,
down the girl's...
The girl, yeah.
Yeah.
Capitone, I believe.
Yeah. If that were a real photograph, that would be considered to be child pornography.
Possibly.
Yeah, possibly. And before I get into the way I look at the answer for all these things, which I think exposes the main problem, which is people's reliance on trying to have a one size fits all state apparatus that will protect people on this, is I want to just go back to a little bit because we can look at it coming in from the other end, which is interesting, and it applies to almost anything. When you asked if I hire Gardner to kill you, Ian, would I be is that criminal? And in this case, the purchase of child pornography after the fact, as defined child pornography as defined by Mark and I'm sure by many other people, however we might define it, as an invasion of a child's sovereignty onto his own self. And I think only the parents of that child can really define that for the child. And we'll get into the stateless way to manage this in a while, hopefully. But if one directly says... Here, it's interesting, just an intellectual exercise here, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this, you guys. If I were to say, I want to hire you to go take photographs of a number of children, I am clearly directly culpable, in my opinion. And I'm not talking about the law, I'm talking about morally, I am inspiring you, I am giving you an added incentive to do this. I let's say I'm in a wheelchair. I can't do the pictures. I want you to do it. Do it for me. Okay? And you agree to do this. I would say that, and I think if I were forming a private society, which is where I would like to go, in our conversation, I would say if I had my private society, ixnay on the IRA or whatever, you can't hire somebody to do that. That would be bad in my private society. And I think a lot of other people would probably move to my society if I had that sort of a rule. Now, if, however, you've got a different situation, which is that somebody is taking the pictures because he knows there's a
demand,
very nasty demand for it out there, but he doesn't know them personally. Can we then say that the person who enters into that market after the fact is still culpable? Is in a sort of strange, amorphous way? You see what I mean? It's very esoteric thinking, but
if there is no demand, then the pictures likely would not be taken in the first place.
The pictures could be taken personally by somebody. Again, see, that's another factor.
Does it matter if there's a demand? I mean, does the demand matter in that whether or not there's a crime committed? I mean, as far as
it absolutely does.
Why? If somebody's forcing their way on a child, what does it matter if there are people out there who want to see those pictures?
Because they may be doing it for the purpose of the demand. Do they sell drugs for the purpose of demand?
See, well, what I'm saying is I'm not looking at the guy who's taking the pictures in this case or the woman who's taking the pictures or whatever. I'm talking, clearly, that's just wrong, in my opinion. It is wrong, and I wouldn't allow it
in
my society.
But should somebody who is,
the other
I agree
person
with you that it's
buys
wrong.
It afterwards, that's what I'm asking.
You're asking, is that wrong? Of
yeah,
them to,
if he has not been identified by the person taking the pictures, and he's part of this sort of faceless demand that the guy taking the pictures knows is out there.
Well, what do you think? Is it wrong for somebody to demand such?
In my private society, I would say that to become part of what drives that man to recognize that there's a demand. That I would.
What's
I would
the
say
crime?
That
where's
be,
the
that
victim?
Would be immoral.
Is the victim the child who was?
The victim would be the child, and
so the child should get restitution from everybody that has downloaded the pictures after the fact. Is that what you think?
In my private society,
well, let me turn this around on you.
If you could prove it, or the parents.
I'm going to turn this around on you.
And I'm just working through it.
What about sites like Rotten.com and other websites where they have death pictures, just grotesque pictures of bodies and just disgusting accident scenes and things like that? Does that create a demand for people to go out and kill people? And
is there advertising on Rotten?
Is there advertising?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what you're getting at. We'll come back.
Profit motive.
800-259-9231. It's Free Talk Live.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Nestle Toll House Morsels. There are a million reasons to bake with Toll House. Find yours at verybestbaking.com. A balanced diet is important, but so is the occasional treat. Working with your kids to bake a dessert from scratch helps them to appreciate it even more, and it keeps them from resenting having to eat their veggies every other day. Plus, baking is a perfect excuse to spend time with your kids, since just being together is a treat. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
Give me liberty or give me death. Patrick Henry uttered those words in 1775. He died just 24 years later. You can avoid his fate by subscribing to Liberty, the National Journal of Libertarian Opinion, News, Investigation, and Intellectual Exploration. Liberty isn't just current events. In every issue, you can expect to see reflections, reviews, and reporting that challenge the individual mind. Get Liberty now with a free trial issue at libertyunbound.com and avoid an untimely meeting with the Grim Reaper.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection action so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Would you like some of Uncle Sam's money back? You may be eligible for up to $625,000 in HECM stimulus. That's right. If you or your parents are 62 years of age or older and a homeowner, this message is vitally important. Please listen. Uncle Sam has authorized a government-backed program through the FHA called HECM or HECM. It is authorized under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009. Senior homeowners 62 or older can apply for this increased stimulus program for free at rmapply.com. That's the letter R, the letter M, apply.com. rmapply.com. Right now, seniors are taking advantage of this program's benefits using the money to pay off debt, purchase precious metals, stock up on storable foods, or make home repairs. But the money is yours to use as you wish. To learn more and see how much heck of money you could qualify for, go to rmapply.com. The application is free. Visit rmapply.com or call for a no-obligation evaluation at 713-551-1155. That's 713-551-1155.
Say no to government vaccinations.
Say no to toxic overload.
Say no to chemicals.
Say yes to liquid zeolite. When you have fatigue, problems concentrating, muscle weakness, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, or joint pain,
the solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body.
Chemical-free liquid zeolite helps the body heal itself so that it can become stronger to fight off viruses.
Why risk government vaccinations?
Liquid zeolite detoxifies the body by safely helping remove toxins and heavy metals, boosting energy levels, and promoting a strong immune system. Liquid Zeolite is tasteless, odorless, and so gentle you won't even know you're taking it.
Feel great again in as little as 3 days to 3 weeks.
Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but it's only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 1-800-976-0025. 1-800-976-0025. 100% natural, 100% safe,
100% amazing.
Try Liquid Zeolite today.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want by dialing in toll-free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We give you the features on the site free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. And if you like this program, well, we invite you to find out about Gardner's show. It's libertyconspiracy.com. You can go over there and grab more great liberty-oriented audio content, updated at least a few, if not several times per week, right?
Yeah,
Gardner?
We try to put out about four audios a week at least, and we have our forum, and pretty much every day there's at least one or two new pieces that are up there. We have written articles and blogs that are put in there by certain members of our so-called cabal, the people who donate. They like to get out there, and we do tons of different audios, everything from interviews with people and music to author interviews, and of course a lot of libertarian oriented stuff. So hopefully some rich stuff that we put out.
And you can get it all free over at libertyconspiracy.com. So it's more than just audio; it's a experience.
And we also do the skits. I mean, we have a lot of skits too. It is an experience. Thank you.
All right, so we continue here. We'll get to your calls here in a quick moment, but I just want to finish up the discussion that we were having about the idea of, well, Gardner was telling us what he thinks would be appropriate in his private society as far as the possession of child pornography, and child pornography being defined as make sure we're all on the same page here, as something that is being photographed, something sexual being done unwantedly to a abusively forced upon a child without their consent, photographed or videotaped and essentially made available, right? That's what we're talking about,
right?
Here.
And I'm talking about a real child. I'm not talking about, obviously, abuse of any level is unacceptable, but I'm not talking about 16 or 17 year olds here. I'm talking about children.
Well, I would, if you're forcing something on a 16 year old, it's
sure.
Still a crime.
As far as I'm concerned, that's a crime. If they're 29, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. So now, Gardner, you were saying that you thought that if indeed somebody was demanding such a product, that they are somehow culpable for the original creation of that product after the fact, even though the product was created, then later on down the line, the sicko that downloaded it got their hands on it. You were saying, in your society, they would be responsible.
Yeah, I was thinking it through, and you know, you brought it out to the final question. I was thinking it through and saying, well, look, if I were to have a private society and I were forming this society with other people voluntarily, which I think is the answer to all this stuff, you know, this one size fits all state system, which is ridiculous. But if I were to have this private society, the first step would be you're not going to be able to hire somebody to do this sort of thing. And there's clear culpability, in my opinion, there. But then my mind starts to try to extrapolate and say, okay, well, but if someone is taking photographs because he or she knows that there is a demand out there, but it's a faceless demand, let's say. It's secondary, it's tertiary. You go through two or three different fields, or it's online and people are downloading it, whatever. Then is the person who is helping create this demand or helping push this demand, who is part of, I should say, the person who is part of the demand, to be more specific, the person who is demanding, is he, and he might not even exist now. He could be born in 10 years. And this person might know, hey, we can, you know, I'll make money off of this because there are always going to be more people. He could be 12 years old now. Who knows? And maybe he's going to be hitting puberty and he has these weird ideas. I don't know. But is that person culpable when he then purchases? And so you push me to the point where I say in my private society, I would probably make it just like receiving stolen goods. And this is the same sort of thing. If you knowingly receive stolen goods in my private society, I would say that's bad, and I would make it illegal in my private society.
I've got to ask you a question here, Ian. Now, you would agree that it is wrong or should be illegal or whatever term you would use for me to hire Gardner to hurt or kill you or abuse you or whatever,
yeah.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
My question is, can I put out a bounty? Because that's really just the next step in what you're describing. I'm only suggesting the demand that I currently have.
I don't think it's
ever
appropriate to aggress against another person.
But so you're saying that if I'm willing to pay for a video of you being beaten up, if I say I'm willing to pay for a video of Ian being beaten up for $1,000.
Right. If you're hiring someone to do a criminal act,
but I'm not hiring. I'm just putting out a bounty.
Okay.
I'm not hiring you. I'll just pay you if you give it to me.
You're incenting someone. That's pretty much the same as.
But it's the same as having that being willing to pay for it after the fact is really the same incentive.
I think what you're missing here is that not everybody's paying for this stuff, right?
Understood.
I mean, what if you take the monetary amount out? Let's take money out of it entirely here and just talk about somebody taking sexual pictures, forcible sex pictures of a child and just putting them online for the purposes of sharing with others, not for the purposes of profiting. Because I don't know how much money there is in violent child porn. I don't imagine there's very much.
Well, we're obviously talking about sometime in the future because we currently have really terrible laws based around child pornography, okay? So we're talking about some point in the future. I think at some point in the relatively near future, you're going to have some kind of rating system similar to what eBay's is as far as people's, their goodness and their respectability, mm-hmm. and their follow through on business deals and all that stuff. And I think that absolutely should be a part of that person's rating. That person's rating should have a special little pink icon there that says pervert.
Yeah.
And that
little pedo bear icon.
Right. There needs to, absolutely. Little pink teddy bear would be great with a pacifier and a rattle just to let people know what kind of sick, disgusting person they're dealing with.
I think there is one thing that I have to make sure that we address before the break, Ian. You brought up something. What if?
Yeah, the violence, but the death pictures, the gore pictures.
Exactly, pictures of gore and death and so on.
Just because I'm saying, hey, I'd like to see some pictures of death and gore, doesn't mean that I'm asking someone to go out and kill somebody in order to provide that.
Absolutely. In the example that you give, though, I think we need more specificity because. Based on your supposition, the person who is providing the pictures has not engaged in the violent acts of death, of killing. So if, hypothetically, though, there were a demand for pictures of dead people and someone went and killed someone in order to provide those pictures, I think that's analogous to what we're talking about.
I think
here.
It would be analogous, and in that case, as in the other case, I don't think there's any culpability for the people that are creating that demand.
See, I'm on the fence there. I think there is, but I understand where you come from. I think in my private society, this is where I hope, when people debate this, it's always within the sphere of the state. And, well, this is wrong. It's like just walking up and pushing and continuing to walk into a wall. You're just walking into the wall and continuing to move your feet. Mm. You're not going to get anywhere. But there are answers that can be provided if we pull our minds out of this state mode and go into the private mode. Because clearly we have a certain amount of agreement and some slight disagreement. We can have societies where we come up with these answers. And I think if we trust parents enough to say, well, you know, you're trusted enough to vote for a politician to come up with a law that will protect your children and to come up with a police system that will protect your children. And that's fine. If we trust people to vote for that sort of a thing, then why don't we trust them to come up with their own private arrangements? You know, I don't understand why people continually say the state has to do this. I just don't see it. We can come up with a mutual agreement within private societies where there is this sort of protection. Those private societies will come up with their own agreements with other societies on very slight variations, or no agreements with them. We're not going to do business with you at all. Those questions are answered for me there, and the people within will answer them.
And I'm all in favor of what Mark is saying about the, you know, the private, essentially rating system for reputation and things like that. I'm all in favor of that. But what had disturbed me about the conversation was the idea that somebody who were to receive pictures of gore or death, or somebody who were to receive pictures of children being forced into sexual acts, would somehow be liable for the original act that was committed. And I think that almost has kind of a hate crime ring to it. Like, oh, well, let's see, little girl, you were molested by this person and he took a picture, but nobody downloaded it and nobody paid for it. So that's not as bad of a crime as if 1,000 people had downloaded and paid for it. See, 1,000 people downloaded and paid for it, so therefore you're owed more money because it was worse because a bunch of people were demanding it.
Do you think that increases your shame? I think it may. I mean, not only is there the fact that a person is abused. I mean, that's bad. It's terrible.
The crime is the crime.
The crime is the crime, certainly. But the spreading, the very fact that that is out there is shameful.
It's fascinating.
For me, I would find it, it's one thing to have been beaten up in the past, but I would find it very shameful to have pictures, even worse, pictures of me getting beaten up. That's worse.
That is
not a crime.
Insult to injury.
It's not a crime to have those pictures. That's what I'm saying. You can't find those people liable for
I'm
that.
Only saying that the people that really enjoy those pictures are the ones that are disgusting to me.
You could be disgusted by them, but that's not a crime. There is no victim there. More coming up here. You can take control of the airwaves. Hour number 3 is on the way. Bring up anything.
Do you have hair or skin problems? Are you sensitive to fragrances or dyes? Quit suffering. Quit trying the latest, new, and improved potions. Try Unicure Hair and Skin Conditioner. It's been sold in top salons since 1973, and I've been using it for the past year, and I love it. Unicure's Hair and Skin Conditioner's gentle, greaseless formula is fragrance and color-free. If you have hair or skin, you need Unicure. Call 888-UNICURE or visit unicure.com. 888-UNICURE. Unicure.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.